Hello, hello, and welcome back to Get to Know Grace. I'm Pastor Rachel. I'm so excited that you're here with us today. Today we're doing things a little bit different. So in the past, we've been sitting down and getting to know people and getting to know the ways that grace has been showing up in their lives, both our church community and God's abiding, abundant grace. Today is a little different. Today we are going to be hearing from Tessa Crepane, who's been on the podcast once already, but this last Sunday she did an amazing talk on how grace can accompany, show up for, walk with Afghan refugees through an organization called Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. LIRS is a wonderful organization that we are partnering with to try and support, encourage, and walk alongside with those who are coming into our ports as we speak, specifically Afghan refugees in this time of incredible political upheaval, humanitarian crisis that's happening, continuing to happen in Afghanistan. As those folks are coming in, we have been asked by LIRS to be a community partner, to be a source of accompaniment for a number of different families through that are coming through SeaTac. We have, spoiler alert, we have not yet been reached out to by LIRS yet, but Tessa's talk and Tessa's words are amazing in terms of helping us prepare for when that moment comes. There's so much we can be doing in the meantime while we wait for that go ahead from LIRS. So I wanted to share her words today. I'll finish off with a couple of discussion questions and some things that can keep us thinking, since this isn't a sort of give and take like our normal program is. We'll end with some discussion questions so that we can continue the work beyond this podcast. The reason, though, we're including it today as opposed to a conversation is because this is also who grace is. This is a continuation of getting to know grace, of getting to know who we are and who our partners are. This is us. This is the work we do. This is the mission of our church community. This is who God is calling us to be in this time. So I would invite you to listen with an open heart as we open in prayer and as we turn to Tessa's presentation. So let's start in a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, thank you so much for the witness and leadership of your people, for people like Tessa, for people like Grace Lutheran, for communities who are willing to walk with those in need. Help us all to have open ears and open hearts to all that we are about to hear, to all that God is asking us to become, to all that we are being called to. Remind us that we are all your children, that we are all in need of your love, your grace, your compassion, and help us to spread that very same love, grace, and compassion throughout the world to all in need. All this and so much more we pray in your holy name, trusting in you and trusting that you are here even now. Amen. So without further ado, let's tune in to Tessa Crepane and what it is that we can be doing to prepare for our Afghan neighbors and soon-to-be community members.
I'm really grateful that you've all come here today. I think your presence here is an affirmation that our community, our congregation, is ready to welcome refugee neighbors. There's a lot to learn when we think about welcoming people from another culture into our country, into our community, and into our lives. At Grace, we are people of action, and we want to get going now. I know that many of you came here wanting to know, when are people coming, how many people are coming, and what do we need? We don't know. We don't know. But what we can do now and what we need to do is take the time to make sure we will be acting in a way to provide support, companionship, and hospitality to refugees. We need to think about the characteristics or qualities of our congregation that would help us at welcoming refugees, such as that we're very servant-hearted, we are action-oriented, we're extremely generous here at Grace. But we also need to think of some of the characteristics and qualities that we may need to overcome to fully welcome refugees and to help them feel welcome here at Grace. And some of those are our traditions and our expectations. So now I want you to think of a time when you received hospitality and welcome. How did it make you feel? And what was it about that hospitality that specifically and intentionally met your needs? As you think about that, I'm going to tell you about one of my first trips to New York. I go to New York every year, pre-pandemic. So one of my first trips to New York, I was somehow talked into taking a red eye. By somehow talked into, my mom said she'd pay for it if I'd take a red eye with her, so I wasn't going to turn that down. We were staying at an Airbnb, and check-in was later in the evening. So when we landed at JFK early in the morning, completely exhausted because, of course, there was a screaming baby the whole flight, we were very excited to have received a text from our Airbnb host saying he was able to get the place cleaned really early and we could check in right away. So we went straight to the Airbnb. I have never seen a more glorious bed in my entire life. He'd set out some water bottles for us and told us to text him if we needed any recommendations. After a few hours of sleep, we woke up very, very hungry. So we texted him, asked him if he had any recommendations. He said there was a great place around the corner. Sometimes they're really busy, so he would call and get us a table while we got ready. So we arrived at this great, great restaurant. All I remember is this amazing latte, this great Italian bread. The place was called Via Carota. I'm going to get sidetracked because I'm hungry. But it was exactly what we needed. And later in the evening, he texted us again saying that there was this great outdoor bar and why don't we come and meet him? And so we went out and had a drink with him and we were able to get to know him. He was able to really get to know us and provide us with more recommendations of things to do in the city. And then he offered to meet up with us the next morning to help us get our subway passes. It was the most wonderful and exceptional hospitality I've ever received. Now, of course, my New York red eye journey does not compare to that of a refugee, but it's similar in that when we think about hosting refugees, we need to think about their needs and how we're going to meet their needs, not just bringing over our Lutheran potlucks and stocking their fridge with all of our favorites. It's about getting to know them and their culture and what will help them feel at home here. So we know that God is calling our congregation to be a radically inclusive, multicultural community who serve and lead together with the love of Jesus. So what does that mean when it comes to serving the refugees of Afghanistan? We know that our multicultural community on Sunday mornings does not include Afghanistan refugees. So what we need to invest in now to serve those refugees we likely know little of is cultural competency. And that's something that LIRS hopes will invest in as we look to be co-sponsors. Cultural competency involves the knowledge of other cultures, non-judgmental acceptance of cultural differences, and changing of behaviors to enable successful communication, cooperation, treatment, and inclusion of diverse groups, while at the same time remaining grounded in a sense of shared humanity. Working with asylum seekers and refugees requires finding the balance between treating your new neighbors like anyone else and recognizing that their culture and experiences may present challenges to the way they adapt to life in the U.S. and to our mutual understanding. Country of origin, urban, or rural background and education, not to mention individual beliefs and attitudes, all contribute to how a newly arrived person will function in and adapt to U.S. culture. In some of the webinars I have attended, current and former co-sponsors have talked about things we take for granted, such as electricity or knowing what household cleaners to use and how to use them, as some of the cultural challenges. LIRS provides a digital toolbox of information on cultural competency, which is really great information because I'm not going to dive deep into all of that this morning because we have a lot to cover. But if you provide your email at the end of this, I will send you their vast network of information. Additionally, there are some really great book recommendations, and one in particular that I have just devoured the past couple weeks is called The Good Immigrant. It has 26 different stories about immigrants in America, and I'm going to read a little part of it for you right now. And this is from the chapter of After Migration, The Once and Future Kings. Our story is one of migration. Mediterranean migrations in half-toppled rafts, winged migrations in first-class seats, forced migrations in overcrowded ships, scholarly migrations to enslaved-built universities, postmarital migrations that spirit daughters away from their daddies, and chain migrations that bring distant families together while tipping the population against invaders who fear what it means to finally become the invaded. Our story is one of finding home. So I really recommend this book. It's just got great little pieces like that. Really, really important information. I know that there are also really great children's books on immigration if you have children and you want them to be learning in this process as well. Because learning, and absorbing the knowledge of other cultures is the first step to being culturally competent and building multicultural collaboration. So currently, there are over 19 million refugees in the world, and less than 1% get settled into a country like the US where they can make a new home. LIRS is one of the 9 resettlement agencies authorized to resettle refugees in the U.S. There are 54,000 vulnerable people from Afghanistan on 8 military bases in the U.S. and many more overseas on military bases eager to come to the U.S. LIRS is gearing up to resettle these refugees with our help. However, the biggest challenge is that due to the emergency nature of the evacuation, most entered the U.S. on humanitarian parole. And this is a temporary immigration status, even though they are refugees. It's a 2-year status, and within that time, they can apply for asylum. However, humanitarian parole makes them ineligible for many services and programs in most states. So there is a huge need for communities like ours to step up and support, and co-sponsorship is one way that we can do that to help overcome this challenge. So what is co-sponsorship? Co-sponsorship is a special relationship between a local resettlement agency, a community group, and a refugee family. This type of volunteer commitment is incredibly important to the work of welcoming refugees. Co-sponsors bring an essential level of commitment, continuity, and care for the refugees they serve, and significantly multiply and extend the services of refugees. So co-sponsorship with LIRS requires a commitment of 3 things. We commit to 1 year of service. We sign a contract, a written commitment, with a local resettlement agency to support a refugee family, and also committing to raising between $3,000 and $7,000 per family to extend the financial support of a refugee family. Now, according to the U.S. State Department, out of the tens of thousands of Afghan refugees at military bases in the U.S., 1,679 will resettle in Washington State. LIRS considers co-sponsorship a part of their long welcome of refugee families. They require a year-long commitment, as I said, of us, but I would expect that our congregation would build lifelong relationships with these families and that they become an integral part of our community. Now to get into the details of co-sponsorship, because I know you guys want to know exactly what that's going to involve, which, as I said before, we don't know exactly. But it is my goal, my hope, my dream for us to resettle at least 7 Afghan families, which means we need to raise a total of $21,000 to $49,000. We already have $7,000 in the bucket. So we've got one family down. We've got six to go. And I know that our congregation can do this. I know that we want to do this. I know that this is important and something we need to do. And so, as I said, we don't know when we will get the call. We are on the list. We are ready. We are waiting for the call to be co-sponsors. It could be tomorrow. It could be months from now. But we need to be ready. We are going to start collecting information from you to see where your interests are. For each family that we sponsor, I want to put together a team, a community of maybe five people who will be assigned to different tasks based on their skills and talents, whether it be grocery shopping, transportation coordination, education, paperwork, just to give the family a team of people they can rely on to help them navigate life here. And we know that none of us is without something to give. And I'm going to talk about these a little bit more in depth. Here are some of the possible volunteer opportunities. And as I said, this is a long commitment. We want to take care of these people for the foreseeable future and make sure they are well set up here. So the first one is an apartment setup. Most likely when they come here, LIRS will be providing them with a place to stay that is furnished. However, it might not have everything. They may need bedding. They may need towels. They may need dishes. The next one is transportation. This could involve picking the families up from the airport, taking them to appointments. This also would involve helping them navigate the public transportation system so that they can be familiar with that and be able to utilize that for a little bit of freedom and independence for them. Next here is grocery shopping. That sounds really easy, but that will also involve trying to learn their cultural foods and their wants and being able to stock their refrigerator when they arrive with things that'll be familiar to them. Hosting a family member in your home. If this is something you maybe have the space to do and feel comfortable doing this, we don't know if we'll be called on to do this, especially within a pandemic. Education and tutoring, helping them navigate the school system and helping their children feel comfortable and safe in their new school. Another one, a big one, a huge one, the one we probably need the most people on, is filling out forms. That is one of the major things I've heard in these webinars of people who have been co-sponsors, is that there is so much paperwork that, especially if there's no one in their family that speaks English, they need a lot of help filling out paperwork, whether that is for health benefits or for just to get into school, access to some of the different programs, they need help there. Community host. I want to provide someone who's going to be invested in fellowship with them, introducing them to other people, maybe some fun activities, maybe inviting them to a dinner with some of your friends so that they meet some people, maybe helping them get involved in different Afghan communities in our area, helping them to really feel like they're part of our community, not just at Grace, but in the city that they're living. A huge one, prayer. If you feel like in your life right now, you do not have the time or the energy to do one of these larger things, which I totally understand, we're all in different places. Everyone has time for prayer. Pray while you're sitting in traffic. God doesn't care where you pray, you can pray. And so basically I'm just asking, what strengths and unique gifts has God provided you that you can then help provide to these refugees? So at this point, I've covered a lot. I'm going to wrap that up here. Thank you all. I appreciate you.
Oh, amazing words. Thank you so much, Tessa, for your witness and your leadership in this time and in this way. Just absolutely incredible to hear you speak with such conviction and such, you're just amazing. It's just absolutely amazing to hear you speak in this way. And absolutely amazing that we've all been called to do this work. So a couple of questions, like I promised at the beginning. The first is simply, after listening to Tessa's words, Tessa's presentation, where do you feel called to act? Where do you feel called to move and to be present for those in need right now? As we continue to prepare for our Afghan family who are coming, our families who are coming, what is it that you can do now, today, tomorrow, this weekend, that will help prepare you to be a servant who can fulfill those needs that Tessa was talking about? Maybe that means doing some research. Maybe that means getting online and trying to find some background on either what it means to be from Afghanistan, maybe some cultural competency, some cultural education there. Or maybe you go and you research what it means to be a refugee and that experience. I know for my own sake, I have no markers. I have no experience to speak to either of those identities, to speak to either the identity of being a refugee or the identity of being from Afghanistan. I have no cultural touch points, cultural or otherwise, really. I have no touch points to recognize what might be a need in the midst of those two identities and arriving in a completely foreign country. So as we move towards accompaniment, as we move towards this partnership with LIRS, what is it this week that you need to learn to be the best accompaniment? I'm just stumbling over my words now. You guys, sometimes even pastors don't have the right words. no, I kid. What is it that you need to learn this day, this week, this month, to be prepared for the folks who are coming? And I also want to follow up with another question. When was a time, like Tessa shared in her story, that you felt that welcome, you felt that that hospitality, that meeting of your needs, and what did that feel like? I think the more we can rely on and look back on and reflect on those stories of our own in times when we were welcomed, when we were shown hospitality, I think that warm, fuzzy feeling or whatever it is that you felt, I think that helps us focus, propel us forward, whatever it is we want to say, helps us be inspired to continue to be that force of hospitality and welcome in the world. So it continues to feed our spirits when we are just needing a little bit of encouragement. So those are the two questions I'm going to leave us with. Where do you feel called to act in this moment? And when was a time when you felt that same welcome, that same hospitality, or a similar welcome and hospitality? Thank you all for coming once again to Get to Know Grace. Tune in next week for our previously scheduled or normally scheduled, whatever it was they used to say on TV, our normally scheduled content. We'll be back together again with a conversation next week where we will continue to learn about grace, both Grace Lutheran Church and God's abundant, abiding grace. Take care, everyone. God's blessings, God's peace, God's hope, every good thing from God goes with you now and always.